The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Beaton, joined by the Fantasy Master Lothario himself, setting his Monday lineups before we get into the 2 o'clock game here. How you doing over there, Gray?
Good. I was between looking at my lineup and then seeing if my shame tweets got people in my expert leagues to set their lineups. I was multitasking. I was looking at my own lineups and also looking at people in my leagues to see if they had finally switched out Odubel Herrera from 3 months ago. I mean, what a joke, man. Like, why even be in the expert leagues if, like, it's like you're pushing aside people who would actually love to be in those leagues and would compete to the final day. Instead, we got people in those leagues that have literally haven't removed Jason Hayward from their lineup in 3 months. Like, honestly, like, not only should Jason Hayward not have been drafted back in March, but that you have him in your lineup. He's basically a clubhouse leader. Do you have him in your lineup for morale? the Cubs don't even think he's on their team anymore. The Cubs are like, yeah, he's a clubhouse guy. Jason Hayward's folding laundry. And you have him in your lineup in a fantasy league that's supposedly an expert league? Ah, you're kind of bad at this. I'm sorry. You're not good. Anyway, the thing that really annoys me, though, because in like February, March, the people who I'm talking about right now, they'll be doing threads of all these great things. Oh, you should be looking for this, or oh no, look for this guy, or maybe check out this guy's K rate, or look at this guy's his launch angle. They'll be doing all these things that are supposedly supposed to help people, but they quit their teams in April, dude. Come on, get out of here. Seriously. They should really, like, if you want to run an expert league, the number one thing you should do is be like, you know what, sorry, we got to trim the fat, guys. Like, you quit 3 months ago? You shouldn't be in the league anymore. Sorry. You had a chance, and you blew it. Goodbye. Anyway, what were you saying, Beaton?
Oh, I was just going to say, and we're not talking about, like, the TGFBI or even the Raz Slam or the Raz Bowl contest. No, those are massive contests. It's really hard to track that many people. We're talking about, like, the top level of competition here.
Supposedly
among the experts. There's literally 10 people, or what is it, 12 people now? It's 12 people. It used to be 15.
It's 12 people in a league.
This league.
And like, only 8 of them are playing.
Right.
It's really bad. I feel like past years have been a little bit better, but maybe I just haven't been paying attention. This year is really bad. Like Jeff Zimmerman from Fangraphs, he DM'd me and he was like, did you see these guys in our leagues haven't checked in to make a move since June? They haven't made a move. They literally haven't changed their lineup. They haven't looked at it. This is not a matter of even moving their guys in and out of their lineup. They haven't looked at the league page since June, dude. I mean, come on, man. Get out of the league. Like, you're not interested in playing. Just go. Just goodbye. Have fun. Do something else. It's ridiculous. It actually, it kind of makes me mad.
Oh, I think we can tell what? It makes you a little mad.
And honestly, the funniest thing is, me or Jeff will be the ones that get in trouble for saying something. We'll be the ones that'll be like, oh, you shouldn't say that. Hey, guys, it's not cool to be calling people out. Oh, you guys are losers. Anyway, yes. As I was saying, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to miss a single, like, transaction period throughout the year. It's another thing to have just ignored it for months.
Yeah, all the times. I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I honestly wouldn't even say anything. They haven't changed their lineup since June. If it was, like, 2 or 3 weeks, I wouldn't even say anything. It's 2 or 3 months, bro. Like, this is, like, honestly, how are you in an expert league? Like, get rid of them. Take them out. And be like, hey, guys, sorry, you're not in next year. We're going to bring in some new faces because you can't manage your team for an entire summer. Goodbye. Like, come on. It's ridiculous. Anyway,
yes.
Let's talk about this week.
Let's talk about some baseball, Gray. Let's move out of the complaining phase of the show. I mean, there's the old Albert commercial. He's not a machine, but he looked like a machine this week. 5 home runs. He's just trying to get to that number, Gray. He's just chasing it down. I believe he's 8 shy now. After getting some time off, he hasn't actually been playing every day. But they they just pitch him against or play him against teams who aren't going anywhere. They can just lob him balls over the middle of the plate. It's nice. It's good for him.
Yeah, man. You know what? Honestly, I kind of want to see him get 700. I'm an old fashioned. I'm a big softy when it comes to milestones. I love milestones. What can you say? Two things. So I was saying on Twitter. The other day, I was saying it to someone else, but I'd love to see, like, if he gets to like 699 homers at the end of the year, I'd love to see him come back in April and just have like a day-to-day contract to try and get 700. I would love to see that. I honestly, it would be like, you know, and then people, because everyone's like comments are awful. You can't get on Twitter about having bad reply guys come out of the woodwork, and everyone's like, oh no, I would feel like Albert Pujols, that would be disrespecting the game, and I don't think he'd ever do that. Like, oh, who cares, dude? Who cares? Disrespecting the game. And come on, it's
not
just
even
like
gonna so remember ridiculous. It.
Yeah, like anyone's gonna remember. I had to Google who even went into the Hall of Fame this year. Anyway, and I am like, you know, crazy Hall of Fame guy. I'd love to see like Pujols get the 700. I mean, I wouldn't have thought it was possible 2 weeks ago, but he's gone on this binge like in the last like week plus. That's, you know, kind of crazy. I'm not surprised that pitchers are throwing him meatballs. I would throw him a meatball too. I'd be like, yeah, man, get to 700. I don't care. I would totally throw him a meatball. So I mean, I guess we'll see. I actually have Pujols in one league. Not a good league. Not a good team. I'm not doing well in that league. But I do have Pujols. It's NL only, so at least there's that. Last week I had him in my lineup. It was actually for NL only. It was the first week I had him in my lineup, I think. Maybe in a couple weeks, or at least a couple months. I don't know. I hadn't been playing him, but I actually played him last week, so it was a good week. Anyway, enough about my team. I think Albert Pujols is probably, if you're looking like on a short schedule day and he's available – and it's a daily league, and you can pick him up, and he's actually playing. I wouldn't hate that batting call for like a flyer, because I really do think pitchers might be grooving in pitches to get him to 700. So
it's the only explanation.
If they're gonna do that, then at least you could benefit from it. So yeah. I don't hate it. I kind of like that he's gonna get to 700. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see. I mean, I'm. As much as a anti-Cardinals fan as I am, I definitely want to see Albert get there, and I'd like to see him do it this year, just so we don't have to do any nonsense next year with a 1 month contract that turns into a 4 month contract because he doesn't hit home run for 4 months. Somebody just keep grooving him some pitches and meaningless games. Let's get him there, and that way we can be done with this whole thing. The Cardinals are going to win the division anyway, so that's not really going to change anything regardless. Moving from the oldest player in the league, potentially. I don't know if he is. I think he's got to be, right, at this point?
Yeah.
Is Nelson Cruz older?
Yeah, I was going to say Nelson Cruz might be a little bit older than Pujols. But, yeah, they're close in age. They went to the same high school.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz is a few months older, I think. But, yeah, so one of the oldest players. But, yes, let's move on to some September call-ups. You know, some rookies, some young guys.
Some of the potential youngest players in the game, huh?
Yes, absolutely, Gray. Let's make that smooth transition right into that. I mean, there's a few big names that we could be looking at. I'm just going to throw, like, the top few right out here, and then we can kind of talk about some of the other ones. Josh Jung, you know, we thought we were going to get him in the spring training and then the injury, but we should probably see him. Corbin Carroll's pretty much one of the, if not the top prospect, one of the top prospects in the game that's not already been called up. It seems like we should get at least a glimpse of him. Gunnar Henderson, we already saw DL Hall as well. What do you think about these guys? Any other names you kind of want to throw out for people monitoring their waiver wires in deeper leagues, or maybe if they just need that upside shot to maybe get into the money here as we're coming into September? What are you thinking about some of these guys and any other names you want to throw out before we get into some of the guys that have actually gotten the call up so far?
Well, if you go on to youtube.com/RazBallFantasy, you'll see a video I did with Billy about Gunnar Henderson. So go and check that out. Smooth's little promotional tool used by Gray Albright. I think, you know, but in that video, and now I'm going to say everything I just said to Billy to make it pointless for you to go look at that other video. But anyway, what I said in that video is I have no idea with Gunnar Henderson. Like, I think, like, I asked a few people. I asked Jeff, former podcast host, current Baseball America guy. I asked Itch. I asked a few more people if we were going to see Gunnar Henderson in September. And I got so many conflicting reports. It's like, I guess it's like a toss-up. It's basically what I'm hearing here. Because half of the people I asked said he would be up in September, and the other half said no. So I don't know. Honestly, I have no clue. I think everyone was like, he's ready. So that is, you know, I think that is the problem with, trying to figure out baseball call-ups versus any other sport. When a player's ready in baseball, they're not necessarily called up to play the sport, which they did not fix with the new CBA. So I don't know with Gunnar Henderson. I think he's ready. everyone seems to think he's ready. Everyone I talked to was like, he's going to be great. You know, Itch, I believe, said he thought he was going to get the Chris Bryant treatment like 2 weeks in April and then called up. So he didn't think he was going to get called up in September. He didn't think he'd be called up even to start opening day. Jeff, I believe, said that he was one of the guys who felt like Gunnar would be up in September because, you know, the Orioles, if they're competing, they want to have him on the playoff roster, which made sense to me as well. But it's just made sense as well. So I don't know. Like, they, either way, and no one knows, obviously. Everyone's just, you know, educated guesses here. So I would stash him. I don't know. I mean, I don't think, I don't know. I mean, I honestly, if I had to say in my heart of hearts, I kind of feel like he's not going to get called up because it's the Orioles, but I don't know. I mean, Adelaide Rushman's up, which was D.O. Hall. There was, I mean, they've called guys up. They've not called guys up. I don't know. I think, I honestly don't think he's getting called up, but he's worth, you know, we're, and I'm only talking about him this long on whether or not he get called up, because if he's called up, he's worth grabbing in every single league, like as shallow as a 10-team mixed league if he gets called up. He's got power, speed, great contact, hits the ball so hard. Basically, like Bobby Witt Jr., like Bobby Witt Jr., probably with better contact. So we're talking about a guy who could be a top 25, top 30 guy overall as soon as next year. Like, he's going to be really good. Okay, so then Josh Jung, I think, is the other guy who's got a real potential of getting called up. I think he's probably a better chance of getting called up than Henderson. Obviously not as good. Worth grabbing. I don't think he's got no speed. He's got good power though, and he hits for good contact. So Josh Jung is probably a guy who I would say is worth grabbing in all leagues if he gets called up. He's just not going to be as dynamic as a Gunnar Henderson. And then there's the other guy, Corbin Carroll, who is you know, also being talked about as potentially getting called up, and he's also totally ready. Again, it's kind of like a matter of when the Diamondbacks, in this case, the Diamondbacks, whether or not they call him up, not whether or not he's ready. So, and he's actually, he's closer to Henderson with, you know, he's got power and speed and good contact. So Corbin Carroll is like going to be, I think, really good as well, but I don't think he gets called up. Like, he's actually, I feel like Corbin Carroll's going to be next year. I didn't, but just for full disclosure, I didn't ask anyone their opinion on Corbin Carroll. I just personally think he's going to be next year because they just called up Stone Garrett, who we'll talk about briefly in a little bit. But yeah, I think I would go Josh Jung if you're really like, you know, if you need power and like you need a flyer of a guy who is really likely to be called up, where Gunnar Henderson's a good flyer, but I don't know if he gets called up. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on the whole thing, B-Dun?
Yeah, I mean, I think an important note is, and it started last year, so people kind of already know this, but September call-up isn't like it used to be where you can call up the entire 40-man roster. I believe it's 28. Now, so you really only get a couple.
It is 28.
Yeah, so you really only get a couple extra spots to work with. So that kind of changes the dynamic of what we're used to in September. I'm with you on Carroll. I just think he may even start the year next year just because of the new rookie of the year ruling. Where, like, I mean, he's got to be the front runner for rookie of the year next year if he starts up in the majors. And then, you know, Gunnar Henderson, I think I'm with you as well in regards to probably next season, just because he is so young. He's 21. They've already called up Adley, so they have, and they probably are going to bring up Hall for the, you know, for the, just to keep him throwing, I would guess. So if you're already got the like two of your top prospects up, you don't necessarily have to call the third up to appease the fans. You can play the game with his service time a little bit more. So I think I'm with you in regards to both those guys. I think they are clear and ahead of Jung in regards to what they can bring to your team if they do get the call up. Jung is just, I mean, he's a good hitter. He hits the ball well. You know, solid power, not like elite power, but very solid power. And that's just what you're getting from him. So that's what it is. I would say probably deep 12 team and 15 team leagues for Jung. Anything shallower than that, you probably have something very similar on your waiver wire.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, I agree. And then there's, before we get to the guys who actually were called up, there's Francisco Alvarez, who I don't believe is going to be called up. I think he's ready, but I don't think he gets called up. The Mets catcher, the Mets catching prospect. And then there's Tristan Casillas. Am I saying that? I'm probably saying that
Casas.
Wrong. Casas, Tristan Casas. Tristan Holmes. I don't know what happened with him, to be honest. He was like a guy who was on my radar in February to like stash in 50 round draft and holds to see if he got called up in June. And then maybe because he struggled, he's totally been off my radar. I don't know what happened with him. Like, he's been gone more or less. And then like, Miguel Vargas, another guy who I don't think, these are guys who I really don't think we see, or even if we see, I don't think they matter. Like, Miguel Vargas needs, like, he needs Justin Turner to get injured. Tristan, Casillas or Casasas or Casillas, totally butchering. Sorry, Tristan. I know you're a big listener. I don't know if we see him, and if we do, I don't really know if it matters. Right, the first guys we mentioned were really the guys, Jung or Henderson, and then there's Soroka, who has been around. he's been rehabbing in the minors
for like a decade.
Yeah, for a while now, right? He's been a while in the minors, and I think he gets called up, but I don't think he's gonna matter really. I think he's like a name that people know, but for this year, I don't know. Like, I think his last rehab start was like 3 1/3 with no strikeouts. Like, I don't know. I mean, he's fine if you're in an NL only league, sure, but in a mixed league, you can stream better than what Soroka is going to bring to the table, I think, this year.
Yeah, I mean, Soroka is more of a compiler when he's right, you know, good ratios as far as ERA whip, but he's not really a K guy. He when he was on his best, he was an innings guy, kind of in the Alcantara mold, not a, you know, a 30% K guy. So getting him for a couple of starts here at the end of the season, you know, probably not worth it, especially since they are going to be shorter. They just want to get him some game action. I would imagine he's not even used as a starter in the postseason, just a long reliever guy if they need him to come in. He may even be left off the postseason roster, honestly. Just, they may not have a need for him if he doesn't get enough time back.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, so we can move on from the other guys you mentioned. I think Casas is, in regards to just like what happened with him, yeah, he struggles a little bit once he got promoted to AAA this year. And then Boston really didn't, like, they went out in the trade and got Hosmer. Well, I guess they had to take Hosmer, kind of. JD, they didn't.
They got Hosmer. They got Hosmer thrust on them.
Yeah. JD didn't get traded, so.
Like, Yeah, Hosmer was like the major league hot potato. It's like, we don't want him. We don't want him. You got him. The music stopped, man, and you're holding him. You got stuck with him. We're sorry.
No takes you backs here. So, yeah, I think Costas just missed out on his opportunity for this year. Look for him next year, though. I would think he probably gets a look to start the season. But, yes, let's go ahead and get into some of the guys who are already up gray that didn't need to wait till September. Brett Beatty for the Mets. He's come up, only 6 games so far, so very limited samples. In AA this year, he had 19 home runs, 2 stolen bases. He hit .312, .406, .544. He only had 6 games at AAA before getting called up. He was hitting fine there as well, though. What are your expectations here? I mean, he's kind of in the Jung mold, maybe a little bit better in regards to the contact and patience at the plate, but really just kind of a power average guy, right?
Yeah, no, completely. Actually, I was pretty impressed. I watched I watch a lot of Mets because I like their announcers, so I saw a bunch of his at bats. He looked really good against lefties, which was impressive. He looked excellent against righties. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of I'm a fan. I mean, I went out and I got him, and I actually spent most of my fab that I had left. I spent on him and Dustin May, who we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, I spent a bunch on them. I think that's, because like we mentioned earlier with Jung will probably get called up. Henderson, we were saying, we don't think so. Like, who else really is there? Who else is going to get called up? Like, I don't, I think there's going to be limited guys still, showing up. So I went out and I got Brett Beatty I spent $58 out of 1,000. The runner up only spent 12, so I could have went a lot less, I guess. But I wanted him. And then in my other league, I tried to get Brett Beatty. I spent 57. I lost out to someone who spent 76 out of 1,000 again. So anyway, yeah, and then in my quote unquote expert leagues, someone got him for $15 because only 3 teams are playing. Like, oh, crazy. Ah, I mean, people are sitting on $500 and they're not doing anything. Anyway, and that's an NL only league too. Anyway, so, yeah, I think Brett Beatty is like you said, he's kind of like in the, Josh Jung mold. I think he's got power. He's got good power. Really good hit tool. Like, he looks really good. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy. Like, I don't know. I don't honestly. I don't remember the timetable on Escobar and Louis Guillerme is supposed to come back at some point. I don't think for a while. So I think Beatty's there more or less to stay. I think he's worth a flyer in every league, like even the shallowest of leagues. I could see grabbing him just to see what happens with power and contact. He's good. I mean, he's really talented. Anything can happen in the final month of the season. Like, he could hit .130 potentially for the rest of the year because shit happens, but he will be good at some point. He just may not be good in this first call up, but I think he could be.
Yeah, I think he could be as well. And I think actually when you get called up in late August, September, it helps your chances of being good. You've had a full season. You're already in your full swing of playing. So you're not like trying to get accustomed to, or trying to get into your groove plus playing at a new level. Like, he's already in his baseball mindset. He's playing baseball. And I think they called him up so they could potentially add him to the playoff roster. That's why you get him in August rather than September. So I think that there's a definite possibility he sticks in the lineup for the rest of the season. And then, moving forward, obviously, assuming he doesn't struggle. But again, at the end of the season, you get more kind of junk pitchers. You get long relievers. You get you know, call-ups just coming up to spread out innings on younger arms. So there's a little bit better chance that he succeeds, I think, towards the end of the season than maybe I would feel if he got called up in, like, May.
Yeah, agreed.
You mentioned that there may not be another big name. Well, I think the other big name that we haven't discussed has already gotten called up, and that's Stone Garrett for the Diamondbacks at Triple A this year. He went 28 home runs, 15 stolen bases. He hit 275, 332, 568. He's been up for four games, Gray. I mean, he's looked good so far in his limited appearances as well. I mean, I think this is the other guy that we're going after if he hasn't already been scooped up on your waiver wire. Yeah. What do you think about Stone Garrett?
He's also 38 years old. So.
He's only 26. Let's not make him sound too bad. He's definitely old for AAA, though. You're right.
Yeah, he was getting called Grandpa on the AAA field. Yeah, I mean, you know, like in the small sample size situation, anyone could get called up and be good for a little bit, you know, so he could be good for a month plus. He's got potential. I think he's like, you know, I haven't seen him. I haven't watched any Diamondbacks games recently, thankfully.
Yeah, no, there's not much there.
Fun team. Very, very fun team. Them and the Rangers. Wow.
Grooming pitches to Albert Pujols. That's what Arizona's been doing.
Yeah, at least the Diamondbacks have spent $500 million like the Rangers. Yeah, I think Stone Garrett's, I mean, every league I would look at grabbing Stone Garrett. He seems like the kind of guy who, he's got power and speed. He could potentially, because he is older, like he's ready to go and could potentially like surprise some people. Like there's going to be, I think, major league pitchers might not yet know how to pitch him. He definitely has holes in his swing though. If they figure him out, I mean, he's got like a 20 hit tool. He could hit 210 in the major leagues, in a full season. But for a month, he could surprise people and, you know, hit 300 potentially in a month just by, you know, pitchers really not knowing how to get him out. I mean, it sounds crazy, but, you know.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, as far as the hit tool goes, it does look like he made some kind of change in that from 2019 to 2021. The strikeout numbers have come down significantly since then. The average has been higher. So I do think it looks like there was a change there.
It could have been possibly the eighth and ninth time he was facing the same AAA pitchers. He could have figured them out.
It was also he switched from the Miami organization to Arizona. So there was a change in organization. So maybe they figured something out. But I will say in regards to some of the like 26, 27-year-old prospects, some of them really got hurt by that missed 2020 year where there was no minor league system. Because like if he gets called up in 2020, he's 24, he's fine. It's 2 years later now. He's 26. It seems weird. I'm a little bit interested in Stone Garrett. Like I said, I think there's been a swing change since he joined Arizona. The numbers look great as far as just power speed goes. So I'm willing to take the shot there. And it seems like he's out there in a lot more leagues than like the Brett Beatty's and Dustin Mays of the world, even the like Shea Langelier, who we'll get to, just because he is a little bit older. He's not a former top prospect of any kind, really. He was a toolsy guy who needed to learn how to hit, and maybe he learned how to hit, maybe he didn't. Moving over, Gray, let's talk about another call-up in Kerry Carpenter. You know, he got called up with the Tigers so far, this year in Double-A. He had 63 games. He was 22 home runs, one stolen base, 304, 359, 646. In AAA, he had 34 games. He had 8 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 331, 420, 644. So very impressive on the average OBP slug numbers at both AA and AAA. Only 8 games so far up at the Tigers. He has 2 home runs, You know, the average isn't there yet, but in 8 games, that's literally like a hit. So not too bad right now. What are you thinking in regards to Kerry Carpenter? Is he again in that Josh Jung kind of mold that we've been talking about where it's going to be more average power and it kind of depends on how they pick it up initially?
Yeah, no, I kind of wonder how the Tigers are going to play him too, because I did see that they platooned him a bit, which doesn't really make total sense because they don't really have much of a team. So it's like, just play him, right? Kind of. I think he's probably, you know, he looks to me like, yeah, he's in that first, that corner man sort of mold of like the Josh Jung, where he's got power, no real speed. Could hit. I mean, he did in AAA, like you mentioned. I mean, he hit 331 in AAA with really good contact. Like, he only struck out 12.3% of the time in AAA. I mean, and he walked exactly the same amount. So, yeah, I'm kind of interested. I'm not breaking the bank for him, but I think he's at this point, he's still like 15 team mixed league and deeper, but. Definitely worth watching for sure.
Yeah, would you rather have him or Brett Beatty, who we talked about, and kind of both in that same mold there?
I'm a sucker for Beatty, honestly. I think in the long term, Beatty easily. In the short term, it could be Carpenter. I think Beatty's got much more upside, but you know, like, guys come up and struggle all the time. So Beatty could struggle, and Carpenter could hit. So I don't know. In the short term, it's kind of a toss-up. I would go Beatty, though, because the upside's better, and I think long-term, Beatty, no question.
Yeah, the upside, the pedigree is definitely better on Beatty, so I think I'm with you in regards to one over the other. But if you miss out on Beatty, you could definitely grab Carpenter as the, you know, as your consolation prize, probably get him for less, and still feel pretty good about rolling him out there and getting probably very similar production, I think, in this short window that we're looking at in the rest of the season.
Yeah. I bought I got you a consolation star. I bought you a star. It's a consolation prize. Hope you enjoy it.
Thanks. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Does it have the underscore or no?
It does. It does not.
No underscore. It costs extra.
No, it costs extra.
Paying by the character, folks. Paying by the character.
Yeah, can't afford it. Sorry.
Moving over to another prospect with the call-up. I already kind of talked or mentioned him earlier, and that's Shea Langeliers. In AAA this year, he had 19 home runs, 5 stolen bases, .283, .366, .510. So a little bit more speed than the other two, but still not exactly a guy that I'm counting on grabbing more than maybe 1 or 2 stolen bases here at the end of the season for the Athletics. What do you think about Shea Langeliers and his possibility? I mean, do you think he's seen everyday playing time the rest of the way?
Yeah, for sure. The A's have no one. I mean, the A's are like the worst team I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen the Nationals. Yeah, the A's are bad, so... I mean, he's probably catching or DHing, and Murphy's probably going to just flip on and off with him. So, yeah, I think everyday playing time, and he's got a good bat. I grabbed him actually in a 15-team mixed league to platoon. I have it's a Yahoo league where they have like you can only have a certain number of games played. And I'm low on my games played for catcher, so I'm platooning Langeliers in and out with Cal Riley. And Langeliers, I think, has done better in the last week. But in most leagues, probably not worth grabbing unless you're, like, hurting for catcher. He's kind of a needs-based thing. If you need a catcher, then sure. If you don't need a catcher, then don't bother with them. I think most guys, like, I think probably Murphy for the last month is probably going to be better.
Yeah.
But Langeliers, you know, has upside. So if you want to try it, what the heck? Go for it. But, yeah, I think Langeliers is, you know, it's like Langoliers or Omar Navarez. Probably Navarez. You know, like it's like you can't count on a rookie catcher. But on the other hand, if you have like space for a flyer, sure, why not?
Yeah, I mean, Murphy's actually been great this second half. I think he's hitting almost 300. Yeah. He's got 7 home runs. I mean, Murphy's been great. See, I imagine Murphy's the catcher on any day that he's just not straight up resting, because neither Shea Langeliers or Steven Vogt or whoever else they have to throw a catcher, they're all terrible behind the plate other than Murphy. So probably a DH in very occasional catcher there, but He should qualify for catcher next year because it's a position he's going to play the most, I would think, in most leagues. We have two more guys here at the back end of the call-ups. Jeez. Oswaldo Cabrera and Ronson Contreras, who's been recalled. What do you think about these two, Gray?
Cabrera, I kind of wonder if Cabrera's even going to be around with the Yankees by, like, I don't know, by next week. I mean, maybe, because I think they seem to like his defense, but, I mean, he's going to hit, like, 175, maybe 200, even, like, over the course of a season. I don't even think he has the contact or, like, he's just, like, he's not very good. He's not. I mean, he's just not great. Maybe for defense. I saw a few people commenting that he had, you know, his defense was good. So I don't know. I mean, the Yankees are struggling and it's not all Cabrera's fault, but he's not helping. Ronis Contreras, I think, is I'm staying away from Pirates. Just staying away from the whole team. I don't have anything to do with them. I don't trust them at all. I don't trust them to develop people. I don't know. Contreras, I guess, if he's a good matchup, but I have not looked for Contreras to pick him up anywhere. And I'm in some deep NL only leagues, and I haven't looked for Contreras anywhere. I haven't even stopped to consider him. So I'm not interested at all, really.
Gotcha. I would be interested in NL only just because I'm interested in anybody in NL only. I think that's probably the main area you're looking at. He did dominate down in AAA, but that's kind of what you expect out of a top prospect. We'll see what it looks like this time around. I mean, he definitely has the stuff to dominate. It just kind of depends on whether it's going to line up. I could see him starting against certain teams, though. I could definitely play matchups with him. And just hope for the best if you're just chasing innings and strikeouts. I think that's where I am on Contreras. And then Cabrera, I'm with you. I just don't know where he's going to really slot in and play. And I'm not overly excited about what you're going to get from him when he does get in there. So let's move over to a guy that I am definitely more interested in and went for, I think, more fab than I have left in all of my leagues, and that is Dustin May. He had one start last week. He went 5 innings, no earned, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts in that 5 innings versus the Marlins. I mean, he's a priority add here, Gray. He's probably the best pitcher we're going to see come up at this point in the season, right?
Yeah, no, completely. He was another guy. I bet $157 on him out of a 1,000 in one league, and I got him. The next highest bid was $130. So that's not bad. I was happy to get him. I think whatever the Dodgers touch, it's like it turns to gold. I don't know what's going on there, man. I don't know. It's like, it's crazy. Like, everyone else struggles to get back on the field after, like, big surgery. Dodgers have this guy. Like, he pitched last year, and he's already back pitching this year and looking great. Like, he looked – I mean, the Marlins are pretty bad, but he looked great against the Marlins on Saturday. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think he's the big – call up, like he's a quote-unquote call up. He's the big, like, fab pitcher from now until the end of the season. I don't think we're going to see anyone else like as good as him. Maybe if you were in a league where McCullers was available, but you know, like last week or something. But yeah, this is it. I think Dustin May could be as good as we saw him on Saturday too. Like there was nothing like, yes, it's the Marlins, but everything I saw, like I only saw highlights, but the highlights I saw, I mean, he looked like he was back. Like he looked totally ready to go, throwing like 98, looking great. Like not physical appearance wise, because he's a little weird. He's a weird looking dude. But I mean, he looked great on the mound. So yeah, I'm in, man. I'm in 110% on Dustin May.
Yeah, he does have the carrot head look going a little bit too strong. But yes, I mean, he looked amazing as a pitcher. And I expect that to continue. I mean, as long as he's healthy, he's always been great when given an opportunity. And I mean, even I'd take him even over McCullers if they're both still out there. I think he's better than McCullers. I've never been a McCullers guy though, so that I'll just preface it with that. Another guy who has returned and he's put up good numbers in his past, not Dustin May type numbers, but very good numbers, and that's Eduardo Rodriguez. He made his return versus the Angels, went 5 innings, no earned runs, 5 strikeouts, 3 walks. Kind of a good version of Eduardo kind of start. A lot of walks, some Ks, get him pulled before something bad happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Pretty much. Like, Eduardo Rodriguez was in, he was in witness protection for a couple months. And we were like, wait, is that guy still playing baseball? What happened there? Hey, he was like in The Sopranos. Hey, whatever happened with that Eduardo Rodriguez guy? it's funny to me. I mean, he's not Dustin May, like you said. He could be decent, though. I think he's, like, if nothing else, I think he can, like, unlike, like, a Aronis Contreras, like, Edward Rodriguez can go 6 to 7 innings a start, throw, you know, 95 to 105 pitches and have decent numbers and, like, be usable, like, versus, like, you know, there's not going to be upside. Like, there's not going to be huge upside, but he's usable, which is, you know, that's not a bad thing. I think I would grab Edward Rodriguez, I think, in most leagues. In the shallower leagues, probably a streamer still. But, yeah, I mean, definitely not terrible. I think he got a bad rap because he sort of disappeared out of nowhere. But I think he's good. I think he's fine for most leagues to like, grab and run with. He could have a good month of September.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of in the pre-breakout, and I guess maybe now post-breakout, Robbie Ray mold. You know, as long as you pick and choose your matchups, it should be fine. Like, he's going to be a fine starter for you. Probably not going to quite the K rate that you're going to get out of a Robbie Ray. But, yeah, I mean, he should be picked up in almost every league and at least streamed in the right matchups, I would think. Let's move on to a guy who kind of disappointed to start the season, but maybe turning around gray in Ranger Suarez with the Phillies. What do you think about Ranger Suarez? This guy that a lot of people had high hopes for. I mean, the numbers on the season look good. The ERA looks good. The WHIP does not reflect where his ERA is. But here in the second half, he's been very clean. 30 innings pitched, 1.19 ERA in the second half. He has almost a 25% K rate. The walks are down. What do you think about Ranger Suarez? Is he the anti Joe Musgrave and he only pitches in the second half? Like, is his best pitching in the second half? Or are we just kind of see him forming into what we thought he might be?
You know, it's not a bad comparison. I think there might be something to that because if you remember, I wrote a sleeper post on him in the preseason. And I was all about him. I think I got roped in on his 2021 second half. I think that might have been what happened, because his second half last year was so good. I mean, his second half last year was like top five starter second halves. And this second half this year is just nearly as good. I mean, like you said, a 1.19 ERA. He's got a 0.92 whip in the second half. Like, he is so good in the second half. The Ks aren't necessarily elite, but they weren't ever, even last year. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he is a second-half guy. I don't know. It is bizarre, and I don't really usually buy into the first-half or second-half guy thing, because it's, like, it's so weird. Like, why would you turn it on in the second half? Like, just turn it on in May, dude. Just do it in May, man. But I don't know. I guess it appears that he is, like, I mean, he's been really good in the second half. Like, elite-type ratios, not elite-type strikeouts. But, you know, you can get a middle reliever who gives you strikeouts and throw Ranger Suarez every game, and you could be doing okay. So, yeah, I mean, I like him. I like him a lot. And now I'm remembering why I liked him. Because for a while there, I was like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, that April, May, where he was throwing, like, you know, just getting bombed every start, that was really rough. I know he got dropped in a lot of leagues. And then, you know, somebody picked him up and has benefited pretty much since, like, mid-June. He's been very solid. And then, you know, after, like, July on, he's been great. You know, he made an adjustment to his pitch mix a little bit, to where he's throwing the breaking ball a little bit more. He kind of did the same thing in the second half last year. So maybe just, like, somebody just DM him at the beginning of April and be like, hey, remember, you have a breaking ball you can throw, like, 10-15% of the time. And, like, it'll help, man. Just do it.
Hello. Ranger Suarez. You may not know me, but I know you and your repertoire.
Please throw your breaking ball 10 to 15% of the time, all the time.
I am currently on StatCast, and I see something maybe you're missing.
Stop just throwing fastball, sinker, changeup. We need a strikeout pitch. So let's move on to a guy here. I mean, this is maybe less, more surprising than anybody in all of baseball, would be that Johnny Cueto has a sub-2.6 ERA, Gray, over 17 starts this year. He's at 118 and two-thirds pitch. The strikeout numbers obviously aren't great. He was never a great strikeout pitcher, and that's just continued to fall as he gets older. But, like, is Johnny Cueto a ratio-level ace?
Oh, man. Yeah. His actually, because I have him in a NL-only league. I drafted him before he signed with the White Sox, so I was able to keep him. Anyway, I have him in that league, and I've just been starting him every week. Because in NL-only or AL-only, you just start guys every week. It doesn't even matter, like, their matchup. So I've been starting him every week, and I haven't really looked at his numbers. But now, like, looking at his strikeouts,
it's bad.
It's so he has a 5.5 K per nine. Is that real? What? Oh my god! No wonder why I'm not doing good in strikeouts. Oh my god, it's awful.
Oh, and that's on the year, Gray. The second half has been even worse. Like, just overall. If you thought that was bad, he's a 3.02 K per nine second half. 8.4%. That's not good, Greg. Not good.
No, that's pretty bad. He's fun to watch. He's like he's one of those guys that's like he's like an older Nestor Cortez. Like, it's like you never know what you're getting as a batter, I guess. Like, he's got so many looks, and he doesn't throw the ball very hard. Yeah, I mean, he has been doing remarkably well. It's kind of crazy, like, how good his, like, his ERA has been. None of his numbers back that up, by the way. I mean, none of them really. I mean, he's got good command, so that helps. You know, if you're able to locate, like, on the outer half of the plate, then, you know, bad contact helps. It helps to induce weak contact. So, yeah, but he doesn't look good when you look at his numbers. He's been good, though. He has been good, but he doesn't look great when you look at his stats.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we're talking about, like, Johnny Cueto, his peripherals have never really matched the numbers when he's good, just because there's the deception. He's a control pitcher, and, like, that never really converts over into the peripheral numbers. So enjoy it if you just need the innings and the ratios, but no, you're not getting strikeouts out of them. So, I mean, even in a 10-team league, if you have an innings, if you have no innings cap, sure, start him, that's fine. But if you have any kind of innings cap, like, even as good as he's been, it's really hard to throw him out there with no
even
strikeouts.
Even as good as he's been, like, if I were ranking right now for next year, I would still rank him like around 120 in starters. I would still rank him really late. I mean, you can't count on this. Like, I wouldn't even count on it for next week, let alone next year. But yeah, he's been good.
Yeah, I feel okay for next week. For the rest of the season, I'm okay. The next year part, not so much. Let's talk about a couple of guys who have apparently made a couple of swing changes, Gray. And Keston Hiura and Alec Baum, two former top prospects. Keston, obviously, a little bit ago when the shine has now worn off of him. Alec Baum, you know, we at Razzball were maybe in on him as early as last year. And just not, he wasn't great. But both have made some swing changes. Baum, maybe not for average, but he's hitting for a little bit more power. I mean, Hira's just hitting a whole lot better overall than he was before.
Yeah, well, Keston Hiura is actually, it's kind of interesting. He's such a huge splits, righty-lefty split guy that, like, and it's not what you would think. As a righty, he can't hit lefties at all. Like, his versus lefties is 176 on the batting average. Versus righties, it's 308. That seems like, I don't know if that's a small sample size thing or if that's like, you know, just a problem that he's always had. Well, I guess I could look at
it. Yeah, he's always had that problem for his career.
He's had that. Yeah.
He's a sub 200 hitter in his career versus lefties. Right. So it's just something he's never been, never been great at.
I meant more future wise, like if that's something that he could fix, because you would think as a righty, he'd be able to hit lefties at some point. So I wonder if he can, like, correct that. And if he can correct that, he could become, like, his, like you said, like, his overall numbers don't look bad. Like, his strikeouts are really awful still at 42.6% strikeout rate. That is terrible. He needs a 387 BABIP to produce a 247 average. So that's not great. But, yeah, I mean, 12 homers in only 146 at-bats and five steals. I mean, he's not great, but there's definitely, like, if you have a daily league where you were able to slot him in when he's actually playing, he's probably per game. I don't have the player rater open in front of me, but I would guess per game he's doing pretty well because, I mean, in 146 at-bats, those are good numbers for that few of at-bats. So, yeah, I don't know. I did read about his swing change. I believe he reduced his giant leg kick. He took out his toe tap and he closed his stance. But that was only like last week. So, I don't know, like we can't say if that's fixed everything yet. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he did look good on Sunday. He had two homers. So maybe. Baum supposedly he changed his swing to more of an uppercut. More of an uppercut swing. So he's hitting more fly balls, which is good. Good for power. His power's up a little bit. His average is not tanked, even though he's hitting more fly balls, because he's still got a somewhat of a line drive swing. So, yeah, I mean, he looks better. I wouldn't, like I was saying even on Razzball in the Daily Roundup on Monday, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to go to the point where I'm saying Alec Baum is going to be a sleeper next year. But I do, I am, I feel like I am getting roped in again.
Oh, great. It's going to happen again and again and again. I mean, at worst case scenario, he's a good bat that's in the top half of the order and hits for a good average. So, like, it's not the worst pick, even if the power doesn't continue after this year. But also, I don't think people are going to be reaching for him thinking of it. So it's probably still a good play, just at the value he's going to go for. I'm definitely not going to be reaching for Alec Baum, but I would take him. He still has use, and in corner and field is one of those positions that's been a little bit difficult at time this year to fill. So if you can just find a guy who will hit for average in the right part of the order, that can be useful. In regards to Hira, I think the swing change hasn't, I mean, obviously hasn't made him a different hitter. He's still striking out at 30%, 36% K rate. But he does have a 292 average here in the second half. And that's with only a BABIP of 273, very small sample size. We're only talking about like a month's worth of games here. But he is hitting the ball a lot harder. He's gone from like a 92, 93 mile an hour exit velocity to a 96 mile per hour exit velocity here in August. So I do think the swing changes are at least giving him the ability to hit the ball with more authority. If he can get the K rate under, then maybe we can talk about real changes here. But this could at least get him to the point where the average isn't just tanking everything he's doing that's positive for you.
Word.
All right, Gray, we're running up against an hour here. Let's just go ahead and jump into our bullpen talk. Who you got for the people as they are sagging their way through this last month plus here?
The Padres decided that they were idiots. It took them a month, but they decided they were morons for getting Josh Hader. And they've gone back to Luis Garcia and maybe Nick Martinez. I think actually with Josh Hader, I don't like. There was people asking in the comments on Monday if they should drop Josh Hader, and I don't know if I would drop him yet in most leagues. I'd probably bench him. Those are people usually asking on Monday are weekly league people, and in a weekly league, I'd probably bench Hader. In a daily league, it'd probably come down to how deep the league is. I don't think I'd drop Josh Hader yet, though. I don't know. It's hard because he is so good when he is good. So maybe if he, like, figures it out, I don't know. He looked really bad. He did not look good, but it's hard. It would be hard for me to drop him. Luis Garcia has been fine, though. He should have just probably been the closer anyway. You know, that's the kind of thing, actually, this was something I was saying on Razzball too, like, Preller, no matter what Preller does, everyone's like, oh, he's so smart, oh, God, AJ Preller, smart, oh, outthinking people, but then you see, like, the Padres, and they're, like, barely over 500 since the trade deadline. Josh Hader's not good. I don't know what they were thinking with the, I don't know, like, some of the moves Preller makes. I don't know. Anyway, that's a real baseball discussion. So Luis Garcia or Nick Martinez, probably 70-30. And then the Phillies, another team who made trade deadline moves. David Robertson he was brought in to be the closer, but no one told Rob Thompson, the manager. So now Sir Anthony Hopkins Dominguez is injured, so Robertson should close. Maybe Thompson will still be like, nah, I kind of like Alvarado or Hand better. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess, on that. The A's, I really don't think the A's actually have a closer. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think anyone is the closer. Like, they went to Austin Pruitt on Sunday. for no reason, real. I mean, they brought in Jimenez, Jackson. They brought in like all their guys at one point in that game. None of them were used as a closer. So I don't think the A's really have a closer, which wouldn't surprise me because like they don't want to pay any more in arbitration. They're just gonna throw people at like the ninth inning and see what happens. Like it doesn't matter. They're not looking to win games. And the Rays, on the other hand, are looking to win games, but they also, I don't think they have a closer either. I don't know. Maybe like Fairbanks, maybe Adam, I don't know. And then in Boston, there's Whitlock, who's been good, but Cora seems to throw him for more than one inning, so he doesn't necessarily, he can't go back-to-back games. Whitlock's probably the best arm there for say, and he's probably going to get some saves, but he's not going to go every day like a stereotypical closer and just get like rack up saves.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I think he will get the majority of the saves though as they're available, at least until that bullpen gets fully healthy. Let's move on to some waivers, Gray. Who do you got here for everybody to pick up or look at?
For bats, Louis Rengifo, Angels. Is he healthy? I think he's healthy. He was batting third, hitting well. He was hitting better than Otani over the last month, on the 30-day player rater. Bunch of guys who we mentioned earlier, as in the call-ups, like Batty, Garrett Stone. Like, there was a few guys earlier that we mentioned that you should be looking to pick up. Sam Haggerty, I think he left the game with an injury on Sunday, but he has been stealing bases. So, you know, you're going to want to check on his injury. Christian Arroyo in Boston, he's actually been hitting really well over, like, the last month, which is kind of surprising. Not for power, though, so I haven't been mentioning him that much because, like, I don't really mention the 2-for-4s with the one run guys, but he has been hitting for average and, you know, getting on base and, you know, knocking runs, blah, blah, blah. He's been okay for that. I think Greg Allen's been stealing bases. not great, but he has been doing that at least. Joey Menez in Washington was hitting well until I made him my lead buy on Friday. Before that, he was hitting well, though. I don't know. Anyone else you got?
I guess on the pitching side, there's Ryan Yarbrough, who's pitching like the guy we hoped that he would have been. Jose Suarez has been good in his recent stretch as well. Alex Cobb has finally gotten some of that, you know, positive luck to turn in his direction. Andre Pallante keeps going back and forth between rotation and reliever for the Cardinals, but when he's in there, regardless of whether he's starting or relieving, he's done really well. Graham Ashcroft for the Reds is another one I'm looking at as a streamer. Maybe not at home. Never really like throwing Reds at inside anybody inside the Red Stadium if you can avoid it. But he's done well. I think I mentioned Austin Voth last week. Since he's made the changeover to starter, he's had really clean starts despite not going deep into games. That's a few names for the people out there for starters.
There's also for hitters. If you go to on Rasball, if you go to the 7-day player rater, and then in the last column there's a R percentage, which is roster percentage. How much guys are rostered? If you put in a lesser than sign and 50, you'll see all the guys who are under 50% rostered, and you know that could help people. It's right now the top five are Evan Longoria, Montero, Rockies, Elirius Montero, Chaz McCormick, Victor Reyes and Ben Gamel are the top five guys there that are under 50% rostered. So I don't know if those names help. Nelson Cruz is up there too for the last week. I honestly, it depends on your league. And some leagues, guys are, you know, there's better guys that are available. Like, you know, like people ask, like, oh, what do you think of Vinny Pascatino? It's like, I liked him 2 months ago. Of course I still like him, you know? So it depends on your league. Like Jose Miranda might be available in some leagues. He's been hitting well. So, yeah, it just depends on leagues.
Yeah, a few more bats, I guess. Jake Fraley, it only took like 2/3 of the season.
Has been so good. Yeah,
since he joined the Reds.
Yeah, really since he started hitting leadoff and they moved India the hell out of there. Yeah. Yeah, Fraley has been so good in the last like week plus. Yeah, he's a good name.
Jake McCarthy, if you're looking for steals. Greg Allen.
Jake McCarthy.
Yeah.
Jake, not Dick.
I thought I said Jake, but yeah, he knows. Greg Allen is doing his Billy Hamilton thing if you only need stolen bases. And yeah, I think that's a good list there, Gray.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
As always, if you have specific questions, you can come post them on the comments on Razzball. You can find us on Twitter. I am at RazBeaton. Gray is, of course, the at Razzball account. You can come find us on youtube.com/RazzballFantasy. You can leave comments in there if you have questions. And until next week, we'll talk to you later. Good luck.
Later.